got a few screws loose since the days of my youth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose and I'm telling you the truth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, you don't really want proof. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, why I do what I do. It's a few screws loose podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you back to another episode of A Few Screws Loose, the podcast, the award-winning podcast, where we have mental health discussions by mentally ill men of color. Now, this year we're going for the most inconsistently consistent award, so vote for us. Quick shout out to the Breaks Media Network, that's the fam there. If you enjoy, seriously, if you enjoy A Few Screws Loose, there's a ton of other podcasts that you may enjoy on the Breaks Media Network. There's The Awakened Soul. There's Love, Lust, and Badass Soul. It's damn, that's a lot of souls. Shit. Well, probably because it's a black ass podcast network. Matter of fact, I think we need to change the name of the show to A Few Screws Loose, the podcast with soul. Whatever. Before we get into the mind of Dan, yeah, copyright infringement, shout to Hayes. I want to send a quick shout out to my brother Jaden Hollywood. Jaden hit me, well, he texted me yesterday. He said, hit me up. And I'm like, fuck. Because everyone who knows me knows I hate talking on the phone. I do not want to talk on the phone. I will ignore your calls. Like, I will sit here looking at my phone at you calling me and I'm doing nothing and I am able to talk and I will silence that bitch. I do not like or want to talk on the phone. However, being that Jaden and I don't talk often, I said, all right, bet, let me hit him up. So hit Jaden up and first things out of his mouth, I've never heard this in my life in regards to me. And I want you to know, bro, I really appreciate this is. Yo, I'm doing a mental wellness check. That shit took me by surprise. Mental wellness check. Damn. Fuck. So then he goes on to say, I want to know how you're doing mentally. I want to know how you're doing emotionally. I want to know how your day's been. And I'm just like, I'm kind of taken back because I'm like, I don't even know how to answer that shit other than honestly. But I usually don't even participate in conversations like that because it's just one of those things where I feel as if you're asking how I'm doing. You don't want the real answer. You just want the, oh, I'm doing all right. I'm straight. Yeah. What's up? So, you know, Jane continued to ask questions and, you know, I told him, I'm like, look, bro, this is the best that I have felt in a while. 2020. I don't know what changed in January of 2020. I had a rough last quarter of 2019. A lot of personal shit going on. I had a lot on my plate. And some of it's still on my plate, but eh. So I'm just like, bro, I don't know what it is. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great right now. And I feel like something really fucking bad is gonna happen because I feel so good. I don't trust this shit. I trust feeling bad because that's my normal. That's what I know. That's my comfort. My comfort zone is feeling bad. My comfort zone is being uncomfortable. So anyway, we are going to talk and Jaden and I both work in the same industry, though in different capacities. So he knows that I'm working 10 to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week right now. I'm in the financial industry, Jaden is as well. He does actual financial work. I'm more of, well, I am a technology person. So as long as there are accountants in, CPAs in the office, tax attorneys, as long as they're all in the office, I have to be in the office because I'm responsible for making sure that they're able to do their jobs as far as technology goes. So anyway, he knows how stressful of a time of year this is, and he goes through it himself. So his next question was, so have you come to the point where you wanted to strangle or hurt anybody yet? And I'm like, no, not really until today. And this was yesterday. So yesterday I had this old ass bitch at the job get under my skin. And let me tell you, you don't know. And I'm talking to everybody. You don't know how much restraint it takes to be me, how much restraint it takes to appear to be as calm as I am, how much restraint it takes for me to appear as nonchalant as I am, to appear as if nothing bothers me. Things bother me. I'm not nonchalant. I feel deeply, but the restraint that I use allows me to, I guess, portray myself as somebody who doesn't get their feathers ruffled or whatever. So this old bitch tried me, and I hate to use this word to describe our people. I really do. But this bitch is the epitome of ghetto. I don't even really talk to her like that other than, you know, some old cordial shit. Hey, how you doing? Da da da. Or good night. See you, you know, tomorrow, whatever, whatever. But yesterday she decides she wants to talk all kinds of big shit about me to my face. And in my head, I'm like, Dan, don't do it. Don't do it, Dan. Don't do it. And I had to talk myself down from saying some shit that I was going to possibly regret, because she's old. Well, one, she's old enough to be my grandmother, probably. But yeah, I'm just like, how dare you look the way that you look? Talk to me in such a manner. How dare you? This is what I'm thinking. And I was about to go straight back to D.C. and do what we call joning. And the most disrespectful way possible. I mean, the bitch looks like she has a dead dog on her head. I don't know what that is. That shit looks like it might even still be alive. Her teeth are fucking gold. Like someone just gave her a gold shower in her mouth. Like that shit. She just looks like a fucking crackhead ass leprechaun that chews on Duracell batteries or some shit. She looks fucked up. Like, yo, I know y'all heard of resting bitch face. She has a resting sick dog face. She is like she's fucked up. And she always wants to talk about people on drugs. Yeah, them people on these drugs. Bitch, you look like a fucking crackhead. If I ever, ever, ever had to describe a crackhead, I would give them your description. So how dare you speak to me in such a manner? But no, instead I sat there, I bit my tongue, and I'm like, just kind of in a patronizing way, but I almost lost my composure. I really almost lost my composure. And once I do, it's kind of like you go back to the playground days, which is you can't beat me. So since you can't beat me, I can say whatever I want to you, because what can you do to me? Sure, you can make some phone calls and call some people up, call your husband, call your son, call your grandson, whoever the fuck. Any of them bitch ass niggas, call them. And that's where I was mentally, call them. I'm not the baddest man in the world. I know that. But the way I was feeling internally is call all them bitch ass niggas. Bring them up here. Line them up. And not to sound like some kind of raging lunatic, but that's where my mind was. But I sat there. Okay, you done? Is we finished or is we done? So yeah, I really almost lost it yesterday, and I'm glad I didn't. I went to bed mad. I went to bed angry. Like, again, how dare someone who looks like her talk to me in such a way? And that's not even a shot at ugly people. I got lots of ugly friends. Shout to y'all. I know that sounds kind of fucked up, but shout to Stephanie too at BLC New York. I'm not apologizing for what I just said because I meant it. So anyway, on to what I wanted to actually talk about today. I'm re-recording this because I didn't like the tone that I used initially or some of the language I used. I used the word offended. And that's not the word I should have used to describe what I'm about to explain to you all. So I'm going to say don't like. There's a lot of things that people do and say that I don't like in it, and it bothers me deeply. So the first being, it's going to be okay. Like during a crisis, during a traumatic situation or something. So what came to mind was my grandfather being in the hospital. And I remember I was a kid. This was like 20 years ago. And everyone just kept coming up to me and saying, don't worry about it. He's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. He died. He wasn't okay. He was dead. I wasn't okay. I was hurting. I'm still hurting 20 years later. So essentially it was not okay. And I get the sentiment. I get the sentiment. The sentiment is we don't want you to worry. But fuck that. Keep it real with me. Tell me the goddamn truth. Don't sit here and lie and tell me some shit's going to be okay. Another situation that comes to mind is when my son was in the hospital dying. So many people kept saying, don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself over it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. God's got it. And the fuck do you mean don't worry about one of the worst things that can possibly be happening to me at this time and don't worry about it? Fuck you. Like, for real, that's like almost the equivalent of me saying my house is on fire. There's flames everywhere. There's black smoke everywhere. I can't see. I can't find an exit. I ain't gonna worry about it, though. Like, what the fuck you mean? Don't worry about it. That's some stupid shit. It's gonna be okay. Yeah, I'm sure it is going to be okay with when I'm fucking burnt to a crisp or whatever. So just I hate when people do that. And again, I'll concede and say I understand why they do it, but I just hate it. I just dislike it. And, you know, the whole God's got this. God's got this. I heard that a lot when we were in the hospital. God's got this. You don't need to worry about it. My son died. I'll leave it at that. Prayer. Pray on it. That's another one that I hear a lot. Just pray on it. Just pray on it. Just pray on it. I'm a solution-based person. Whenever there's a problem, I don't look to anybody else. I look to Dan. Like, okay, now this is where I need to be careful with how I say what I'm going to say. I'm a solution-based person. When I see a problem, I look for solutions. If this problem affects me directly, I look at what can Dan do to remedy this problem or alleviate this problem? What can Dan do to make this situation a little more bearable? What can Dan do? And I look at the problem at every possible angle and I try to figure out what can I do? I'm not worried about what anybody else can do, especially if it's something that directly affects me. I'm not worried about what prayer can do or wishful thinking can do. I'm worried about what can I do? And let's be honest, a lot of us cause our own problems or problems for ourselves. We do that. Just a quick off the top of my head. I don't know. You got your rent money and you decide you want to go out, buy some expensive jewelry or go party or whatever. Now you can't pay your rent. Now you're going to say, well, God's got me. No, you had you, but you spent the money on some dumb shit. So, you know, it's like I personally have created a lot of problems for myself. Yes. And when you create problems for yourself, guess who has to fix them? You do. So anyway, the whole, pray on it, pray on it, pray on it. Let me pause for 1 second and say, I don't discuss my religious beliefs with anybody. I keep them to myself. My relationship with, you know, my higher power, that's between me and my higher power. He discusses religion slightly, just to the effect where, you know, he lets everyone know that he's a devout Catholic. But that's as far as we go. I don't even have religious conversations with people. I have friends or associates, people that I talk to of many faiths. I have Muslim friends, friends in the Nation of Islam. I have atheist friends, you know, with no faith at all. I have agnostic friends who are more like there's something probably. It's just like we don't talk about it and we get along just fine. And I don't care. We don't have to believe the same thing religiously. Same politically, too. It's like, you know, religion and politics. Talking about that shit is a slippery slope. So I'd rather not. I keep my views to myself as far as especially religion. But going back to pray on it. You hear that a lot in Black families. Well, I must speak to my Black family. You hear pray on it a lot. The problem I have with that is, and the same with I'll pray for you, is it's kind of like after these mass shootings, you know, the whole thoughts and prayers, ain't nobody thinking, ain't nobody praying. I'm sure some people are, but y'all know what I'm saying. It's almost like a cop out to me. So for somebody who has been dealing with a mental illness, severe anxiety disorder, I didn't start taking medicine for my anxiety until 2016. So I went 30 plus years with praying on it. Praying on it never worked. Never. Other people were praying on it too. Never worked. I never got any better. In fact, I got worse as the years went on. So not to say prayer doesn't work in certain situations, but it didn't work for my anxiety disorder. So, nigga, instead of praying for me, you know, especially when I was a child, send me to a therapist, send me to a psychologist. But nah, you know, most Black families, they don't do shit like that, you know. I think they're more open and receptive nowadays. But back when I was coming up, nah, nigga, all you gonna get is prayer. That's it. You can't pay your rent this month? Prayer. Your car broke down? Prayer. Prayer, and again, not to offend anybody, but prayer doesn't solve everything. Again, sometimes you have to actually do something. You can't just sit on your couch and pray for a job and not go fill out job applications. So anyway, so yeah, 30 plus years of praying, anxiety disorder got worse and worse and worse over the years. Finally, when I was an adult, I went to see a psychiatrist. And I ended up getting medication for my anxiety disorder. So within a matter of like 3 weeks, medicine did more for me in 3 weeks than 30 plus years of prayer did. So it's like, you know, that's, I guess, why I dislike hearing when people say, oh, just pray on it or I'll pray for you. Because there's a lot we can do here before we even have to pray. And you know, again, not knocking prayer at all. Don't look at a video clip or, you know, a 60-second IG clip of this episode and say, that nigga don't believe in prayer. He an atheist. He a devil worshiper. No. I'm just saying that there's more that we can do before we even have to turn to our gods, before we even have to turn to other people. There's more that we can do. But it's almost, I feel like it's like passing the buck and saying, nothing I can do about it. Sorry, nothing I can do about it. Pray. So that's how, you know, mental health is treated in the Black community. And again, I said, I think we're becoming more receptive to it now as far as therapy and things of that nature. But yeah, hearing those things have always bothered me because every time someone said, I'll pray for you or pray on it or everything's going to be okay, nothing ever good happened ever in my life. So that's my experience. And, you know, again, last time I'll say this is I get the idea. I get the sentiment, you know, when someone says I'll pray for you, that's them basically saying they're showing concern for you. I get it. When people say, don't worry about it, everything's going to be okay, they just don't want you stressing out. They're trying to help alleviate some of your stress and worry. I get it. But just give me the truth. It's not going to be okay. Okay. Just let me know. It's not going to be okay. That's fine. Like, Dan, yo, you got stage 4 cancer. It's not going to be okay. Yeah, sounds about right. So anyway, my intent is not to offend anybody who strongly believes in the power of prayer, because trust me, I have said some prayers myself sometimes when there was no other way and some shit didn't happen. So I guess just to wrap up, what I'll say is prayer is not the answer to everything. It's okay to pray. It's okay to pray about everything. But again, we're all accountable for our actions and what we do. Again, it dictates what's going to happen to us or around us. So sure, pray. But I believe the Bible says faith without acts or faith without deeds is dead or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a scholar. I just went to church a few times. So, you know, I just think that a lot of the times we use it as a cop out to say we don't want to do anything, or I'm sorry, I can't help you. So here's a prayer. Take this with you. Maybe this will help you. Again, not trying to offend anybody, just sharing my experiences, my thoughts. And for all the last time listeners, glad to have you on board for the time for the time we did. So in closing, anyway, like I said at the top of the show, yo, I have been feeling these past few weeks probably the best I have felt in a long time. And it's scary because I know I don't trust feeling good. So it means, again, something bad's going to happen. But one of the things I wanted to make mention of, too, is I am actually socializing a little more. I'm talking to people who, you know, prior to maybe a couple months ago, I didn't know, having conversations. And I'm not talking online. I'm talking, you know, real life. So that's been rather interesting for me because, as most of you know, I am socially inept. I'm just not good at socializing, but I'm giving it a try. Trying to, you know, meet new people and have conversations with people, gain new perspectives from people. So it's been a interesting process. We'll see how long this lasts, though, before Dan goes back into his little box and says, "Everybody, leave me the fuck alone." So, again, I also wanted to say this episode, it was not meant to offend anybody. If you take offense, fuck you. I mean, you know, whatever. And to all of our last time listeners, we thank you for listening to the prior however many episodes. My name is Dan. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show on Twitter, IG, as well as YouTube at Screws Loose Pod. And don't forget, I do have a co-host. He's just been taking a long leave of absence. You can keep up with him at P from Charlotte. So until next time, people, I'll pray for y'all. Peace.